This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Bob Edwards is out, but back tomorrow. I'm Renee Montaigne. Sao Paulo is South America's premier megapolis. It is the heart of Brazil's industry and commerce, and its population has doubled since 1970. Nearly 18 million people reside in the metropolitan area. But for many of them, living in Sao Paulo is not necessarily the same as having a place to live. NPR's Martin Costi has a profile of the city and the struggle to find housing.
The residents of Sao Paulo will fill any available space. Even in the tightest traffic jams, motorcycle riders will weave between the stalled cars, sometimes at top speed. They fly through gaps of no more than a foot or two, beeping all the way as a warning not to stick your elbow out the window. That willingness to squeeze in anywhere is the essence of a metropolis that grew too fast. For most of its 450 years, Sao Paulo was a sleepy provincial capital. But in the 20th century, it boomed, first as the seat of the coffee trade, then as a manufacturing hub serving much of South America. Today, Sao Paulo has a lot in common with New York City. It's an immigrant's town. Authentic Italian pizzerias jostle for space with Syrian delicatessens, and the Japanese occupy a whole neighborhood called Liberty. But unlike New York, Sao Paulo lacks a recognizable skyline. This is not because it lacks tall buildings. In fact, there are too many of them in every neighborhood, and you simply can't find a gap between them big enough to see a skyline. The 26-story Martinelli building was Sao Paulo's first high-rise. City architect Eneira Hecht shows off the view from the roof. This building launched the city's process of verticalization, demonstrating that tall buildings were possible, she says. In the 1920s, when this building went up, Sao Paulo was still a city of houses, neighborhoods of squat bungalows like old Los Angeles. But Italian immigrant Giuseppe Martinelli opened Paulistano's eyes to the possibility of living in the sky. Martinelli crowned his high-rise not with any old penthouse, but with a full-scale Italian villa. It's three stories with grand staircases, a ballroom, and a neoclassical style meant to make an impression, Hecht says. 80 years later, most Paulistanos with money now prefer living above it all. The city has one of the world's largest fleets of private helicopters, which buzz between high-rise apartments and high-rise offices. Monique Forra is a real estate agent who helps people relocate to the security of upscale buildings. She says the well-to-do have little choice.
Depending on the area, you can be considered very wealthy in one part of town where the fact that you own three bakeries makes you just about the richest person in the area. So your risk is you're going to be kidnapped.
Forra says prosperous Paulistanos still prefer their high-rises in old-fashioned styles, what Brazilians refer to as neoclassical, even when applied to modern buildings 30 stories tall. The result is high-rises that try to imitate Greek temples or antebellum mansions. Villa Conceição is the hot neighborhood these days. Like everywhere in the city, the high-rises here have sprouted up next to small houses, free of the restraint of any visible zoning. The neighborhood took off after a hyper-exclusive fashion boutique called Das Lu opened up in a couple of the houses. Now wealthy residents sit in sidewalk cafes, holding toy dogs on their laps, while burly men in cheap black suits keep an eye on things. Of course, that's how Sao Paulo's elite lives. Many more Paulistanos find their homes by squatting. 600 families live in this vacant hotel. The building is dank and broken down. Plumbing fixtures and other basics were looted a long time ago. Hundreds of kids play in the gloomy, crumbling corridors. Squatting on private and public property is a long-standing tradition in Brazilian society. But as the city grows more crowded, the squatting has become more organized. This hotel, for example, has been occupied by a group known as the Downtown Movement of the Roofless. José Luiz Machado is one of the organizers, as well as a resident of the hotel.
Esse movimento para dar apoio às pessoas que residem debaixo de viadutos.
This movement is dedicated to helping people who live under bridges, needy people. We gather them into groups and move them into an abandoned property that owes back taxes. Then we start negotiating with the owner.
This group is actually being quite legalistic about this occupation, as it's called. They hope to pressure the city into buying or expropriating the hotel on their behalf. But most occupations tend to be more chaotic. On a drizzly morning on the outskirts of São Paulo, police move in to break up a large squatters camp on a vacant lot by a highway. With helicopters patrolling above, the police clear out the plastic tarp tents, pushing out at least 1,000 people. One of them is Lenilda. She says she already has a place to live, but the rent is steep, and she thought she'd try her luck with the squatters.
My hope would be, I don't know, to somehow get a place to put my little kids. You know, when God created the world, he didn't leave written instructions about who should own the land.
That may be, but in this case, the Volkswagen company considers itself the rightful owner of this vacant lot, which happens to be near one of its Brazilian factories. When these squatters bet that the company wouldn't fight for its land, they bet wrong. But it wasn't an unreasonable gamble. Brazilian governments often do end up recognizing squatters' claims, even if they don't quite legalize them. At election time, local politicians even deliver building supplies to the squatter camps, and the city eventually lays utility lines. The claims are often sold and resold many times, despite the absence of deeds. City Housing Secretary Paulo Teixeira estimates that 1/4 of all citizens, nearly 3 million people, live in residences of uncertain ownership. It's a stunning statistic for a city that prides itself as being one of the most modern in Latin America. Like most politicians in Brazil, Teixeira stops short of condemning land grabs.
While it's true that there's a right to property, there's also a requirement that property fulfill its social function. And for this reason, this conflict is always lurking.
Property rights have always been somewhat flexible in Brazil, perhaps as a result of the enormous need for housing. But many people here also blame the country's financial institutions. Private banks have rarely bothered with the low-profit business of small home loans. Most Brazilians are barely familiar with the concept of a home mortgage. Housing activist Manuel dos Santos sits out on the tiny back patio of the neat cinder block house he built on São Paulo's east side. Technically, this is somebody's parking lot, but 10 years ago he pitched a tarp, slept out in the cold for months, and now the land is as good as his. He has this advice for any young Brazilian looking for a home. A young person has to believe in the struggle if he's going to conquer his space, Santos says. Ultimately, for most paulistanos of limited means, the only way to get a home is to take one and hope for the best. Martin Costi, NPR News.
Tomorrow, corruption in Buenos Aires. Argentina is rebuilding its economy, but the financial meltdown of 2002 has left many Argentines deeply suspicious of their government and business leaders.